record the message. This is not the first Sunday of the year, but it is a Sunday where we are coming together as a church. We are looking at the past year, and then we're looking forward to this year to see what God is saying to us and what God would have of us. It's almost redundant to say that this has been a difficult year. We all know that. We've all been dealing with the issue of COVID, with the pressure that it brings, with the fear that it brings, with the restrictions that it brings. We've experienced civil unrest, and civil unrest continues, especially at least in the stories that I read in the West Coast. And we still have that as a nation to deal with. We had a very contentious election season, and we still have a very contentious government. And what happens in Washington affects every city and literally has the citizens of this country at each other's throats. And in addition to all of those different things, you and I still experience the problems and issues of life, family problems, work problems, health problems, loss, so on and so forth. Praise God. And I'm not praising God for all of our troubles. But at least now, and maybe this is just me, but at least now, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We know COVID is not going to stay here forever. And I hope and I pray our government, which needs to repent, may I say, but I hope it at least stabilizes so that they can get back to doing the business of the country for the common good as our Constitution has laid out. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still a ways off. You and I have had a difficult year as it relates to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, this has been a very difficult year in that we've had to do things in a way that we haven't had to do them before. We're not able to worship as usual, and there are a host of other things that we have had to deal with, which we'll get into as we progress through the message today. And though I am confident, because it can't go on forever, that this COVID cloud is going to lift, and Lord Jesus, may it lift this year, may it lift the first half, if not the first quarter of this year, we still have a ways to go. And I'm preaching loud enough that everyone can hear me over Sala this morning. In the morning service, we had a little boy, and the mother asked me, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I heard him, but it didn't bother me. We're too dialed in this morning." And God has granted me a big enough preaching voice to preach over all little ones. And isn't it good to hear the voices of children in God's house? Amen? And so, Simon, we appreciate you and your girls being here this morning. In Jesus' name. But getting back to it. It's been a long year. And it's been tough. And when things go on incessantly, it's just human nature. We think to ourselves, how long do I have to put up with this? And I know some of you might be thinking, how long do we have to put up with worshiping the way that we have been worshiping? And may I say three things to that this morning. Number one, we must be patient so that we can finish strong. It's going to end, but it's not going to end on your timetable or my timetable. It's going to end on the Lord's timetable. Let's not give up. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And secondly, we must maintain our joy. We're looking at the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had a great task before him to rebuild the broken down and burned walls of the city of Jerusalem. And that monumental task was going to require great strength, or great endurance, which would need great strength. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah said these words to those men who were rebuilding that wall. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. It has been tough. And as we go through the rest of this season of sickness, it's going to continue to be tough. But let me tell you this, after COVID's done, then the real work begins. We've got to rebuild the ministry of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to take a lot of hard work in order to do so. And the only way we'll have the endurance to complete the work that God is calling us to restore is to be living in the joy of the Lord, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This morning I want to share with you the story of the man Nehemiah, whom we read about in the self-titled book Nehemiah. A man who was a Jew, who was an official in the city of Susa under the king Xerxes, I believe. Judah was held captive by the Persians, and we're going to read and talk about his realization of the broken walls of Jerusalem and what he did to rectify the situation. Let's read our text this morning from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was at Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them about the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and disgrace, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Now when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The title of our message this morning, and Nehemiah cried. And my question is to us this morning, where is our heart regarding the current state of the local church and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to laugh, but it also tells us it is a time to cry. And over the state of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I think it is time for a season of weeping. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for being with us in your house today. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, as we look to the word of God, we ask for the power and moving of the Holy Spirit in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that as we look to the scriptures this morning, you would give words to this, your speaker, but understanding to every hearer who is here. May we be grief-stricken and heartbroken over the ruins of your church. And may we have the resolve, Lord, to do everything in our power with the help of the Holy Spirit to rebuild the kingdom of God. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I mentioned three things that we've been going through, but there has been something major in addition to this that has hit in particular believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the things, or that those are the things that have hit the church. I think the best way to summarize what is currently happening to the church now, and we can definitely describe what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going through as a period of shaking, where God is shaking his church down to its foundations. I think a good scripture that describes what is going on is found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. It's the commissioning scripture, a commissioning word of the Lord upon the selfsame prophet Jeremiah. The Bible says in verse 9, "Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." What the church has gone through since its very inception is a cycle of events that is pretty well described in these two verses. The church, of course, was built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ being the chief cornerstone, the writings of the Old and the New Testament. And it was built up to be a place, and I'm not talking about four walls and a roof, I'm talking about people. It was built and grown up to be a place where people could worship God, learn about God, be empowered by God, and set loose to serve God and to spread the light and the love of Jesus to others. But just like buildings in our day, after a period of time, sometimes they need some remodeling. And at other times they need, you know, it's just too much of a lost cause. The building itself needs to be raised so a brand new one can be built again. There are times that God does, as far as the church, what he did in the lives of Judah, or in the nation of Judah, during the ministry of Jeremiah. Tear it down, not to destroy it, but to build it up once again, bright and strong, or powerful and strong and brand new. And the church has gone through this past year a great shaking, or a great tearing down. We have not been able to meet the way that we would like to meet. In fact, we've been fortunate. We've been able to actually come into a building. There are a number of churches, and I admire the folks for doing that, because it wouldn't be my first choice that would drive out to a parking lot someplace every week to sit in a car and listen to a sermon rather than watch it online. Kudos to them for doing all that they could without violating the law, the order, to assemble together with other believers. We have not been able to fellowship like we like to fellowship. We've had no dinners. We've had men's ministry and women's ministry, but not to the magnitude that we would like to have had them. Why? Because people are skittish about coming out to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming out to public places. People are worried, and I didn't say this because I was online the first service. People are concerned when they come into a building. No one's wearing masks. They're waiting. We haven't been able to evangelize the way that we would like to evangelize. And thank God for the opportunity that we had over the summer for Power of One. And we are able to do backpacks and Thanksgiving baskets. But our own personal evangelism. Very hard, as we previously mentioned, to share Jesus when you're 6 feet away wearing a mask. And people are like, oh, stay away from me. But there are other things that have shaken this church, greater than just the governmental restrictions. This last year, year and a half, God has exposed a lot in the church that has been ungodly. There have been a number, and I've been meaning to talk about this either in a message or perhaps on video with just a short statement on it. But there are a lot of things that have been going on in different churches and church organizations that were ungodly, and God has peeled back the curtain that has covered those things. God is letting the church know that God will not be mocked, and if you're going to preach Jesus, you got to live Jesus. And there are teachings and other activities that people are saying are of God that are not of God. And we've had a number of so-called prophecies which failed miserably and discouraged many. But even greater than that, have given the enemies of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and believers in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ who do not believe in the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit to ridicule and dismiss the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We have gone through, and I'm talking about the church in general, we have gone through a very difficult year, a year of shaking. And so it's a time to weep, but it's also a time now to plan, because it's time to rebuild. Because God is not done with the church yet. I don't care if they boarded up every single assembly and threw every pastor and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in prison, and even go so far as to execute some, burn down churches, get rid of all Christian media and outreach. The gates of hell, just as surely as I'm standing here, will not prevail against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church will rebound. And I'm not saying that because I'm some kind of prophet. I'm not. I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because the Word of God says that. But you and I are key or critical for this to come about. And so my question to all of us today, and my question to those who might be watching on YouTube, do you have the resolve within you to be God's instrument to rebuild His church? If we are, we will adopt in our lives or have within our hearts and our spirits the same attitudes and actions that Nehemiah demonstrated when he heard the walls of Jerusalem were torn down. If I could use one word this morning to describe how Nehemiah responded, or his attitude towards the city of Jerusalem, the city that God chose to place His name, it was a heart of deep concern. Grave concern. Now, who Nehemiah was? Nehemiah wasn't just any ordinary Jew. He was a Jew of status. in that he was given the title and the responsibility of cupbearer or wine taster for literally the king of the Persian Empire. He had, with that, I'm sure, a very comfortable life. He was trusted by the emperor. And it would appear, if you read chapter 2, it would appear he was very happy and content with his life, the way it was going. Whenever the king would see him, he would have a happy countenance on his face. It was a place of power, prestige. In fact, cupbearers were often people who would advise the king because they were so implicitly trusted by them. And it would be so easy, even though Nehemiah wasn't under optimal circumstances, his people being taken captive and under the rule of a foreign king, to say, my life is pretty good. I've got a good place of stature. I've got it pretty easy. I got to watch out. I don't drink any poison wine or eat any poison food. But other than that, it's pretty good. The king loves me. And as far as Jerusalem is concerned, I know it's important, but it's so far away. And everything seems to be going great with my life now. But what was his response? Well, two things, actually. Although not expressly stated, I believe, despite the fact that Nehemiah was in a good spot, his heart was still in the city that God chose to place his name, the city of Jerusalem. And despite the comfortable nature of his life, when he heard the words that the walls were broken down and the city gates were burned, he was overwhelmed with grief and began to cry. I think of all of us who are in this room today and all who were in the first service this morning. And I know COVID has been tough, and I know the election has been tough. You know, there's a lot of things. But basically, we're well fed. Had the freedom to come out and worship. In fact, those who don't even feel comfortable to come out to God's house and worship, we're connecting with them electronically. So they're able to still, in some form or fashion, connect with us. It's all good. I still got my job. I still got my income. Things are okay. While the world and the church is crumbling around us, I'm not going to be too worried about it because my life is okay. Or when you actually look, and let me tell you, the biggest place or the greatest place that you're going to see the ruins of where the church is today, it isn't so much from listening to this preacher preach this morning to you about it, that as you spend time on your knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, the grief over what's going on in the church and the world is overwhelming the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're spending time in his presence, it will overwhelm your soul as well. So are we coasters this morning, just kind of coasting our way to heaven? Or are we looking at what's really going on? People who are lost, don't know Christ, and people who do know Christ who are slipping away, because that's what's happening in this crippled season of the church. It's a good way to test whether or not you're overcome with godly grief and whether you're literally crying or not. Hopefully your heart is crying out to God. And that is when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to what's going on. It moves you to a place of intercessory prayer for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the people the church has been called to reach. This is what happened in the life of Nehemiah. In fact, one thing that marked the life of Nehemiah and the ministry of Nehemiah is something that must mark the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is deep prayer. Listen to the prayer of Nehemiah in chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. "We've acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, please, the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are faithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen to have my name dwell. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Please, Lord, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. And please make your servant successful today and grant him mercy before this man." Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to rebuild what has been shaken and what has been destroyed, we need to take our prayer life up a notch. And what I mean by that is this. You know, we talk a lot about what it means to be salt and light in the world. And definitely being salt and light is being someone who is preaching and sharing the Word of God with others. But there's another aspect to being salt and light and being a witness for Jesus in the world. And that's being a people who faithfully intercede. We should be interceding for the church because the church is in trouble. And we should be interceding for the world. Which means that we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to mature our prayer lives and take our prayer lives from you and I just kind of praying for us, you know, "Oh dear God, you know, help me this day." And I'm not despising that. I'm not. We need to take time for that. First person I pray for every day is me, because I definitely need it. But we need to move beyond ourselves and begin interceding for the church and for the world as God has called us to, because God responds to the prayers of the intercessors. I think of the chilling words of God written out in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, I believe. I don't have the scripture reference for you this morning. I looked for an intercessor. I looked for someone to stand in the gap of the wall, and I found none. Where are the intercessors today? And let me follow that up with a second question. Are we fulfilling our calling to intercede today? Three elements of this intercessory prayer, which I think we need to adopt. Number one, a prayer of repentance, where we confess sins of the church, or in the case of a nation, the nation. Number two, prayer of remembrance. And when I say remembrance, we need to understand that if God is going to answer our prayers, or specifically our petitions, must be based on God's promises. Petitions must be based on God's promises. What do I mean by that? When Nehemiah went before the Lord, he reminded them of who God's people were, and he reminded God of God's promises to them. Did he have to do that in order to remind God? Oh, I forgot all about it. Yes, you're right, Nehemiah. I will restore this people to this land. Or did he need to do so in order to pray powerfully and effectively because he was praying the promises or the word of God? My friend, this may have been, I hope this hasn't been the case in your life, but for many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this has been a year of inactivity where we have just held up in a hole and have done absolutely nothing as far as our spiritual growth or maturity, and we're just waiting for COVID to get over so we can get back to normal. Instead of taking this opportunity not only to develop our prayer life and move and become more intercessors, which God is calling us to be, but to learn more of the promises of God, which are yes and amen, so that when we pray, we can pray with power and authority and faith, knowing that the promises of God are yes and in Him, amen. Not one promise will fail. And then the last part of this intercessory prayer was the prayer of redemption. Restore us, O God. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things we can do. And this is not the end of the message, by the way, this morning. It seems like I'm winding down. I'm really not. This is just point one. There's a lot to do physically, but if we do not lay down a proper foundation of prayer, asking and imploring the Lord Jesus Christ to lead, to guide, to empower, to cause us to build right and straight and true, then it'll all be for naught. We're building on broken foundations that will quickly tumble as soon as another COVID storm comes our way. Now, this is an opportunity for a reset and a restoration, but begins when we pray. And this is the same prayer that Old Testament prophet Elijah prayed. I am but a little child. God, I have this great task before me. I don't know how to do it. I need your help. And God will give it. The first thing that Nehemiah teaches us is to demonstrate godly grief, genuine concern, and a heartfelt prayer of consecration or commitment. But it just doesn't stop there. Let's pray and let's just allow God to move, and then, you know, everything will be fine. It requires bold action. Faith without works is dead. And we can and we will see the church. In fact, the scripture that came to mind as I was writing this, I don't have it in my notes, but the scripture that came to mind regarding what we were going through, it's a little out of context, so bear with me today, but the glory of the latter house will exceed the glory of the former house. Not only do I expect down deep within my soul, and again, I'm not saying this, you know, as a prophet. I am not a prophet. But the expectation I have down deep in my soul that not only are there better days than what we're having now ahead for this church and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are better days than we've ever had before within these four walls. The question is, are we not only going to pray, and we need to pray, are we going to become men and women of action? Oh, we're too few! Oh, we're too feeble! And I think I've been pastor long enough where I can be frank enough this morning. Oh, we're too old. Our time is done. Let me just say this. I'll try to make this just the last rabbit trail. Joshua and Caleb were pretty old when they went with Israel across the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. 80 or in their 80s, but did not feel that they were too old. Amen? They were slaying giants. What bold action is God calling us to do? Number one, God is calling us to assess the damage. We need to look around. We just can't be spectators and just kind of show up. We need to see, we need to take an objective look at the ministry of this church and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to see how bad the damage is done, where the holes are, so that we can have an effective plan to address them. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. First thing Nehemiah did when he got to Jerusalem. I came to Jerusalem. I was there for 3 days. I got up in the night and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting in my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon spring and onto the dung gate. And I was inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which had been consumed by fire. He had to see for himself the magnitude of the damage. What gates were broken? What parts of the wall were demolished? What parts could be salvaged? What parts we'd have to start all over again? Have we been taking this time? Let me tell you one of the bad things about COVID. We've been so consumed about it and just having services, you know, during this time and just kind of keeping things going. And we really haven't noticed the holes in the ministry of our church. I think, and there are many as far as in our church, but also the church in general. And the question I have that I pose before you today, and we're going to talk a little bit in our business meeting, as far as the basics of ministry, notice how Nehemiah, all he was concerned about was the wall. He wasn't concerned about the marketplace or the court or anything inside the wall. He was concerned about the wall. The wall was a starting point. The wall was foundational to them having a secure and safe place to have a city and to have all those other things. And my question that I ask myself, I think God is asking us, and I ask every one of you today, are the basics in place that if every restriction was lifted tomorrow, we would be able to function fully as a church, that everyone who comes in this door would be able to worship God freely? I believe there's some major gaps. Four, which I'm going to share in the business meeting. Let me just share them quickly now. Areas as far as our nursery ministry, our worship ministry, youth ministry, and of all things, office ministry. Office support. You know, they don't sound particularly spiritual. They don't have anything to do with preaching or prayer, you know, or different things of that. But they're important structural things as far as ministry that are necessary for a church to function fully. And it's just the basics. Without that, you have gaps in the wall that people will immediately flow out of. That's not the only hole. There's other holes. Holes in ministry, but there are also holes in our hearts. Many people, because of the events of this past year, have been shell-shocked, including believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're numb and spiritually and emotionally, they're not ready to move forward because they're just, you know, it's just been so overwhelming. God is depending on you. You've got to work through that. You got to get to a place where you're good in mind and spirit with the Lord. And God wants to do that, not only to use you, but wants to raise you up out of being shell-shocked over COVID or the election or whatever else is going on. Also, and this is somewhat related to COVID, the one thing stressful situations, and we've been under great stress as a nation, one of the holes that it also exposes within our hearts are either issues of sin or issues of weakness. I'm not as bold as I should be. I'm not as full of faith as I should be. I've been crumbling on the inside. I've been turning back to the things of the world rather than turning to God. May I say this? Don't feel shame over those things. God is exposing those things to you in your life, not to destroy you, not to make you feel bad, but so that you will press in for more of Him, more of His Word, more of His Spirit, so that you can move beyond those things, be a greater person of faith, or a greater person of righteousness, or a greater person of compassion, or a greater person of patience. Thirdly, are there holes in our theology or in the essence of the teaching and the preaching of our church and our lives? One of the things, you know, when the church is shaken, if it's not built on the Word of God and on sound doctrine or sound theology, people, it will crumble. And what will crumble is not so much the walls, it's people. They'll scatter. They'll lose their footing because they never had a good foundation to begin with. In fact, a good scripture, I don't have it, Bob, on the PowerPoint. I was going to reference it, but I'm going to read it. Good scripture that illustrates this, and this is something that I speak to not only, and you know, this isn't everyone, because, you know, people have to make a decision to ground themselves in the Word of God and in sound theology or sound biblical teaching. But if the church, God has had to shake the church because the church no longer preaches sound doctrine and no longer preaches Jesus, first and foremost, then the people who are followers of Jesus in that church will fall away. Jesus says this in Matthew 7:24, verse 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain fell, floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and its collapse was great. Let me tell you what will be the true test of whether any church has sound teaching, sound theology, or is just preaching fluff or nonsense. And that is when the doors are finally open, the restrictions are lifted, all those who were scattered return, and they're just as passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ as they were when this whole thing started. Why? Because they have been grounded in the Word of God. But if you've been preaching nonsense, then the sheep you're leading will simply fall away and be subject to the enemy. Not only do we need to assess the damage, but we also need to work hard, because the devastation is great, but work hard in the face of great opposition. Nehemiah says in chapter 2, verse 17, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate. Its gates have been burned by fire. Come, let's rebuild the wall. Let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be in disgrace. I can't imagine what he felt like when he heard it. But he probably didn't get the full gravity of how big this task was until he saw the burned gates and the smashed stones. We've got to be optimist. We've got to resolve in our hearts that we're going to do this, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That despite the fact that the job we have is astronomical and far beyond us, we can do it if we possess only one characteristic, that being obedience. That we make efforts to put the church back together again, the place where God today has chosen to have his name proclaimed to the world. And we need to do so, be encouraged, and encourage one another to be patient, to work hard, to be steady. To do so, not only in the face of just an overwhelming task where you think, how am I going to do this? I don't even know where to start. But secondly, with grave opposition from the enemy, the world and Satan himself. Nehemiah 4, verse 15, now when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. And from that day on, half my servants carried on the work, while half of them kept hold of the spears, the shields, the bows, and the coats of mail. And the captains were behind all the house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried the burdens carried with one hand doing the work and the other keeping hold of a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword strapped to his waist as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. And I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, assemble to us there. Our God will fight for us. I don't know what's in store as far as the opposing winds of culture or our society against us. My suspicion is, in what we're seeing, that it's going to be much more difficult for churches that make a stand to follow biblical Christianity and to follow God's infallible word to the T. That'll be much more difficult to function as a church if we don't comply with the cultural standards and with government standards. But even greater than that, you know that the enemy is not going to cease his relentless pursuit against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who built, who were involved in rebuilding the wall, had to do so armed. And when half were working, the other half were standing guard with spear and shield. And you and I, we are involved in a battle as well. The enemy is not just going to sit back and say, well, they've had a tough year, we're going to give them a break and let them kind of get on their feet again, and then we'll go at it. No. He's going to continue to pound us while we are down. And if we're not prepared to fight, he's just going to plow right over us in the name of Jesus. And when I mean fight the way God has called us to fight, where it's not only important that you and I be involved in doing the work of the ministry, physically doing the things that need to be done in order to rebuild the foundational walls of our church building, but that we be praying incessantly, not only for God's blessing, but for deliverance from the evil one, as Jesus taught us to pray. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stand this morning. We're going to sing a chorus in closing.